Amen. That was definitely worth doing a second time so that we could all worship together from Psalm 23. So as we open today, yes, this is the sixth Sunday in the resurrection season. And while I'm not going to be speaking specifically on a resurrection theme, I am going to be alluding to what the resurrection power makes possible to us. As Josh said earlier, it is very true that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, and it's because of what he did on the cross and the resurrection that that is the case. So, in many ways, the war has already been won. But we will we'll talk more about that later in the sermon. But as I said, the resurrection theme, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Martha's affirmation of faith. I thank you that she had the boldness to proclaim that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, that was coming into the world. I thank you that in that proclamation, she grabbed a hold of life, resurrection life. And I thank you that in and through the name of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua, the Lord saves, Yahweh saves, we have hope and we have victory and we have life. Father, today I pray that though my goal is to awaken us to the fact that we live on the battlefield, I pray, Father, that we would not be discouraged because you are the great conqueror and you are with us. And so, Father, I pray that today, as we come together, we would celebrate the resurrection power that flows through each one of us, enabling us to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Encourage us, inspire us, that you might be glorified in us and through us. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to our great God. One of the things that I am mindful of today as we gather is that this is a worship service. And worship is not about us. Worship is about our God. We bow before him and adore him. And we say that he is our God. We acknowledge him. And that's huge. So often in church, we forget that we're not here for us. We're here for him. We're here to adore him. We're here to praise him. We're here to exalt him. We're here to submit to him and to give him right of way in our lives. And that's a somewhat different view than I think a lot of times we have when we come to church. We may think of church as a great place to get some self-help counsel, where we can come and get some psychotherapy from a spiritual perspective. And that's not what it's about. If we order our lives according to God, then yes, we'll have a better life. We'll be more whole as a person. But that's not the point. The point is God and that we glorify him. So as we come to this scripture reading today, I would invite you to stand with me in honor of the reading of the word. This is from Isaiah 59, 17 to 20. And I just need to let you know as we read this that he put on righteousness. When we read that he, I want you to know that that's Yahweh. Okay? This is the God of Israel. This is Yahweh saying that he is going to do this. He looked across humanity and he said, "There is no one who is going to do this. I will do it." And so he puts on this mighty armor on our behalf. So this is good news for us as we read these words and as we think about this. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing. According to their deeds, so will he repay. Wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. To the coastlands he will render repayment. And his glory from the rising of the sun, which the wind of the Lord drives. Amen. That Redeemer has come, and his name is Yeshua. You may be seated. The Lord saves. You know, one of the things that I talked about in our Sunday school class is that every time you read the name of Jesus, you have to remember that Jesus is Yeshua. And every time that you remember what Yeshua is, you need to remember that Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is our Savior. He is our salvation. So today, we are beginning a series on spiritual warfare. And today is an overview. It's an introduction. It's just sort of setting the stage. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of spiritual warfare, and Josh has already said a lot of really good things about that, that we submit to God. We humble ourselves before God. We submit to Him. Then we resist Satan, and he will flee from us. But yes, it's not talisman-type stuff. It's not, I'm going to hold up this cross. It's not, you know, the garlic clove worn around the neck to ward off the evil spirits. We need to be dressed in the robes of Christ's righteousness, and the only way that we're going to do that is if we submit to Him and if we seek His word and His will and His wisdom. Last week, we had an eternal perspective, and the thing that I wanted to kind of tag on to as we come into this spiritual warfare idea is that we need to have this eternal perspective, and we need to have the realization that there is more going on than this physical material world and this physical material life that we live. We are a part of a much bigger thing. The supernatural realm, the unseen realm, is more real than our material realm. It seems odd to say that, doesn't it? I mean, I can't see it. I can't taste it. I can't hear it so often. I'm so often completely oblivious and unaware of the movement of the spirit and the spiritual realm. And yet that realm is the real realm. That is the home of the living God. That is where truth and justice and mercy resides. It is our permanent home for everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ, and it is God's desire that all humanity would dwell there. That is His desire, that all human beings would come to the point where they would say yes to Jesus Christ. That they would come to God the Father through Jesus Christ, God's Son, be filled and cleansed by the indwelling presence of God the Holy Spirit, empowered to live in this material world in a way that has eternal spiritual consequences. And so that's sort of the framework that I'm wanting us to get a hold of today as we gather together and as we think of this idea of spiritual warfare. Now, I will, in all fairness, say that Dr. David Jeremiah has a series called Spiritual Warfare. It's available out there. I have listened to some of that, so I'm giving credit to Dr. David Jeremiah right now. I'm not going to quote him once, but I may say something he said. So, there you go. I also want you to know that I have been reading this dictionary of Paul and his letters, and it's got a lot of amazing stuff in it about the background, the history, the things going on in the church of Ephesus. And this is where we are. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be talking primarily about verses 10 through 20. As we go through, we're going to be in this section of Scripture for a while. I don't know how long. It depends on how long it takes us to get through it. But my goal, my aim, my desire what I believe God wants us to get, what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me, is that there is more to life than meets the eye. There is a battle that rages around us that is far bigger and far more real than we realize. And while that war has been won, I just want you to hear those words again. While that war has been won through the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the enemy has been defeated. And as Martin Luther said, one little word will fell him, will strike him down. That is a truth. I love one of the most powerful images in my mind in the book of Revelation is you have all of the world's armies gathering. You have this great conflict and conflagration about to begin against the kingdom of God and against his children. And Jesus rides out of heaven and he speaks one word and it's done. Satan has no more power. It's over. And I just want you to know that. If you are in Christ, you are on the winning team. But I also need to let you know that while the war has been won, the battle has not yet ended. And we are in that battle now, and we need to engage. We can't roll over and play dead. We have to engage, or we'll be in trouble. So let's read from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 10. The words of Paul to the church at Ephesus, and yes, I know biblical scholars are debating whether or not Paul actually wrote this. The words of Paul to the church at Ephesus. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Father, I pray that you would help us. Help us to grasp what Paul is saying here. And help us to enter into his worldview, your worldview, so that we might be more effective as members of your great army. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. So today, as I talk about this, there are some things that I'm going to be doing. that aren't anchored directly in this passage. They lie behind this passage. And one of the things that I need to help you to get a hold of is a very different mindset and a very different worldview than what we typically go through our daily life with. And here's where I am. I believe that most of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ, most of us who would therefore worship in this church and who would be listening to this message today, we believe there is a God in heaven. And we believe that He is the creator and sustainer of all things. And we believe that He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And we believe that when Jesus walked the earth, He encountered demonic forces that were in opposition to Him, and that He cast out demons, and He was able to overrule some of those forces, all of them, that He wanted to. And we see that in Scripture, and we see supernatural, spiritual things in Scripture, and we believe kind of in our mind that these things are real and true. But on a daily basis, I think we go about the humdrum, day in, day out, mundane aspect of living as though the material world is all there is. We're more interested in making a living. We're more interested in whether or not our car starts. We're not thinking necessarily about the unseen realm, about the supernatural forces. And while we believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the belief in Satan and the devil is sort of on a downswing. One of the things that Dr. David Jeremiah did in his thing is he quoted a Gallup poll, which I'm not going to quote because I can't. And I didn't write the number down. But the vast majority of believing Christians don't believe that Satan is real, that he's a personal spiritual being that is working to undo them. The song that we sang that Josh chose, "The Mighty Fortress Is Our God," that kind of thinking, the kind of awareness that Martin Luther had, that he walked in a world that had unseen forces going through it, that kind of a mindset we have drifted away from. You see, there's a lot of wonderful things about Western European rationalism. There's a lot of wonderful things that have resulted from that. Science has made tremendous breakthroughs. There are medicines that are available to us today. There are conveniences that are available to us today. They're talking about being able to put people on Mars. They're talking about all kinds of strange and exciting things. They're talking about embedding computers in the human brain. Oh, Lord, help us. They're talking about lots of things. I'm thankful for science, and I'm thankful for the ability to use reason and to look at our material world, to inspect it, and to begin to try and bring it under control. You see, that's what we do. We use science, and we use the material world, and we try and control it for our benefit and for our comfort. And one of the things that COVID-19 has done is it's reminded us we're not in control. That there's a lot of things going on, even in our material world, that we don't have a handle on. I am thankful for science. Please hear me. I am thankful for reason, and I am thankful for the ability of doctors and physicians to do things that they couldn't do. My good brother, Art Dyer, would not be alive today if it wasn't for the ability of surgeons to do open heart surgery. And our study of the physical and material realm has given us aptitudes and abilities that our forefathers would envy. I'm thankful for air conditioning. You know, there's a lot that I'm thankful for. But the problem is that all of these things and all of this control and all of this mastery that we have gained has pushed the supernatural realm to the side. It's pushed an understanding that there are spiritual forces at work in our world sort of out of our minds because we think we're more and more in control. And the Apostle Paul here is telling us there's something we need to do. We've been commanded to engage an enemy that many people in our world don't even believe in anymore. We've been commanded to engage forces that a lot of times, even those of us who are Christian, because of our culture and our environment, we wonder if they're real. I'll give you an example. From my own life, I have two, actually. One is we had some friends who were on a trip and they were driving an RV. And they were driving this RV and it was a rainy road and it was dark. They were on unfamiliar terrain going to a destination. They were running behind schedule. They were late and the RV managed to skid off the road in a very precarious place with a large drop-off. And someone showed up and helped them and was able to get them out of the RV and get the RV back onto the road. And when they turned around to thank the person, there were no tracks on the road, there was no vehicle around, and there was no person there. And so they said it was an angel. I don't know what you do with that story. But I know that my first instinct is to try and rationalize another way, another answer. That's not rational. That's not reasonable. And see, that's what we do. We don't mean to. It's a part of our culture. And so I remember another time I was at down at St. David's at the Benedictine Monastery, and I was in the Benedictine Monastery, and I was reading a book about Benedict while I was there. I was there studying. I had a retreat while I was in seminary, and I was down there studying constantly, and I needed a break, so I picked a book off the shelf, and it was about Benedict. And in it, there was a story where a novice came in to Benedict's office, and Benedict sensed that one of his brothers, another monk, was in distress in the lake and he was drowning. And he sends the novice and he says, "Go help brother so-and-so. He's drowning in the lake." And so the novice leaves and he runs out of the monastery. He runs out across the landscape and he reaches and he grabs the brother who's drowning out of the water and he carries him to shore. The only problem is, that means he was running and walking on the water. What do we do with that, Protestant evangelicals in our world today? Well, that's not true. That didn't happen. That was my immediate response. And God tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You don't think that could happen? You don't think someone could walk on water? It seems as though maybe Jesus and Peter did. Are you saying you don't believe what's in the Holy Bible?" And I was like, "Oh." And that was sort of an eye-opener for me to remember that the spiritual world is real. And that there's more to this world than we can see or understand or explain or know. And we so often forget it. Paul is very well aware. And his worldview is that there is a spiritual war going on. And if we were to go back to through the Hebrew Bible, we would see that there are spiritual forces at work. There's a heavenly council. There are those who God created that are less than God. They are not gods, though they get called gods, spiritual beings, Elohim, in the Bible. And we would see that they're real, and we would see that there's a very real battle. And from the Hebrew mindset, it was about the land, and it was about the temple, and it was about the people of Israel. And Paul has had to have a complete reorientation of that, and he's had to realize that it's not just about the Israelites, and it's not just about the nation of Israel, but it's about all of creation. It's about this entire world that God originally created for us as human beings to oversee and administer and steward. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1. But there was a rebellion in heaven, and that rebellion in heaven impacted earth. And the serpent came in to that garden. A rebellious agent, one who had fallen from the presence of God because of pride, one who had rebelled against God because of pride, who wanted to be like God. And if we were to go there, we would see more of that, and I'm going to do that in the future. That he rebelled, and because of his rebellion, he was cast down to earth. And he has become the agent of death here on earth. And he desires to bring as many human beings into his torment and into his death as he can. So as an act of defiance and shaking his fist at God Most High, Yahweh. And you see, our lives here on planet Earth are about working with God to overthrow the forces of wickedness and bring life to people, to bring hope to people, to bring truth to people. And when we forget our purpose, and when we forget our destiny, and when we forget about the supernatural realm, we have problems and we become complacent. And I'll be talking more about that in the future as well. But I just want you to ask yourself seriously, do you believe really in the supernatural realm, and does your daily life look like you believe? Because the spiritual realm is real. And there is a war that is raging around us. And war is not pretty. And war is not fun. And no, it's not like Braveheart and the battles with swords and spears. But it rages nonetheless. And we need to understand that, because it changes. It gives our life purpose and meaning. We're a part of a cosmic conflict. And what we do and what we say and how we act and whom we worship matters eternally for others who may see Jesus because of us. And for me then, while I am grateful for science and the study of the material and the natural realm, I have to remember that the spiritual realm is more real and more lasting and more permanent. And we're called to engage that realm. For me then, it brings purpose when I realize that I am a valiant warrior, a mighty warrior of God, bringing his truth and his light and his presence into the mundane day-to-day existence of my world. I bring the very presence of the Almighty God, and it fulfills purpose and meaning as we wrestle against the forces of darkness. And it gives me hope, because this world is passing away, and the material realm, the mortality rate is still 100%, and death is still real here in this realm. But when I realize that this realm, this material realm, is completely swallowed up by the supernatural realm that is eternal, when I realize that, it gives me hope, because physical death then is just the doorway into that spiritual realm where I will live eternally with my God. Because our lives are not just material. We were made as spiritual beings as well. And yet we are spiritually dead apart from the saving work of God. And so we come back to this opening verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And I just want you to know that this battle is bigger than you are. This war is badder than you are. You cannot stand in your own strength, and you will not overcome. The only way we make it is through the power of the Lord. And Paul is saying, be strong in Yahweh, in Jesus Christ, and in the strength of His might. And this is not an arrogant beating of shields and pounding on chests. This is humble submission to the living God and bowing before the one true God. And notice, David Jeremiah said, a lot of pastors, when they preach this text, they say, yeah, the battle is all the Lord's and there's nothing for you to do. He's won. Well, if that's the case, why does Paul say, be strong? Why does he say, put on? And why does he say, wrestle against? There are all of these things that we have to do. And I want to remind you of the background that Paul is talking to in Ephesians. And I want to remind you that for them, the spiritual realm was real, and it was powerful, and it was fearful. They believed in it, and they acted against it. And so I'm going to take you back to Acts chapter 19. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul visits Ephesus, the city that this letter is written to. And he entered, in verse 8, the synagogue, and for 3 months he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greek. And then we have this really, really fascinating account. And God was doing extraordinary miracles at the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. I mean, that's astounding. That's powerful. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. 7 sons of a Jewish high priest named Siva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all. The name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, telling people what they had been doing. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. What do we make of this? From our materialistic Western mindset, that doesn't make sense. And we would be tempted to say, well, there's just a strong guy and he beat up a bunch of guys. And we would be mistaken. We need to understand that we are in a battle, and the only way that we can win this battle is through the mighty power of the Lord. Remember the words. The demon inside the man says, Jesus I know, and Paul I'm acquainted with, but who are you? In this battle, who you know matters. And who knows you matters. And are you covered with the blood of Jesus Christ? And are you aligned with him? Because if not, you cannot prevail against Satan. And you cannot prevail against the spiritual forces of wickedness. We're going to be coming back to this, and next week I'm going to be looking a little bit more closely at who the enemy is and who the spiritual forces of wickedness are and how they work against us. But this week, I just want you to realize that there's more than meets the eye going on around us, that there's more than this physical realm, that we are locked in a mortal combat of eternal dimension. And those forces of wickedness are far stronger and more powerful than us. So as Josh has said, as the word of the Lord says, submit, therefore, humble yourselves and submit to God. Don't try and do this on your own. But brothers and sisters, hear me. Wake up. We are on a battlefield. And like the episode of Gilligan's Island, I know, now I'm getting really, really ridiculous. Gilligan's Island, where the Japanese soldier was on the island and he was taking them all captive because he didn't know the war had already won. He didn't know that the Allied forces had already won, that Japan had surrendered. He was stranded on the island and he didn't know. And so he was still fighting. Trust me. Satan knows the end of the story. But he's still fighting. And his host is working with him. And the battle still rages here on earth. Because while the war has been won, we live on the battlefield. And we will not be victorious until that final day. And we will only be victorious in Jesus Christ. And in the power of his Spirit and the power of his might. And clothed in his armor. So today is really just a wake-up call. It's more than just this world, and it's more than COVID-19, and it's more than where your next paycheck's coming from, and it's more than the food that you need to put on the table and the gas that you need to put in the tanks of your cars. What we say and do and whom we worship, it has eternal consequences for us and for those around us. So we need to be engaged. We need to be awake. We need to be alert. So that's your call to arms. And we'll come back next week and we'll talk more about who you're arming yourself against. And then we'll talk about the armor that you have and how powerful it is. Because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who gave his life for us. Father, today, I pray that we would all wake up to the reality of the supernatural realm, to the reality of the spiritual realm, that we wouldn't just pay it lip service that we wouldn't give it a wink and a nod, but that we would acknowledge that we are locked in a deadly battle, and lives are at stake. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be good soldiers. Soldiers filled with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Soldiers filled with the fruit of your Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. Because, Father, we do not wrestle or fight with the weapons of man, but with your weapons. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to realize what those weapons are and to engage the enemy in a way that will destroy the powers of darkness and release people from deception and delusion and despair. Help us, Father, to wake up, to put on your armor, and to engage the enemy. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. We cannot win this battle on our own. One other thing I'm going to be talking about in the future. Who is the enemy? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against mankind, humanity. We're not wrestling against people. We are wrestling against Satan and those who follow him. Some people are under his influence and his sway. But when we realize where the supernatural realm is and what the real battle is, we understand that those who are tools in Satan's hand have been deceived and deluded and deserve our compassion and our grace and our forgiveness. More on that in the future. I have so much to share with you from this, but I pray that you'll wake up. I pray that you'll look around you. I pray that you'll realize that there's more to what's going on than meets the eye. And I pray that you will have your feet and your lives grounded in the Word of God and your knees firmly bent in prayer to God. Because that is the only way that we will prevail. So God bless you as you go today. God look upon you with favor, yes. But may you put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand in that evil day. God bless you as you go.